Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, April 23rd, 2017, the second Sunday of Easter, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Although you have not seen, you believe. Thomas, doubting Thomas, you know, I feel bad for him, really, don't you? That he should become a byword for anyone who has doubt. Oh, you're a doubting Thomas. What exactly did Thomas do wrong? He was a skeptic, right? The disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord. He's back from the dead." And Thomas says, "Sure he is." I imagine in his mind he was thinking, they've lost their minds. Grief has made them crazy. Wishful thinking has led them to make up a story. He wants to see it for himself. And I want to say, as a fellow skeptic about everything, I really resonate with Thomas. You know, I'm skeptical about a lot of things, and maybe you are too. It seems like every day I am pitched some new thing, right? Through email, through TV, through advertising. Just try this. It'll make your life fantastic. I get emails from Nigerian princes, you know, who are going to give me a lot of money. And all I have to do is send them my bank account information. You know, we get cynical, we get skeptical, we get hardened by these types of scams. There are scams all the time. So I do resonate with Thomas. But I also wonder, how is it that we know anything? How do we decide what's real and what's not? What's real news, or to coin a phrase, what's fake news? You ever heard that before? Depending on where you are, you tend to look at things differently. You know, we used to get all of our news from a couple of sources, but now there are so many. There's no Walter Cronkite who's seen by everybody, so we have a common kind of frame of reference. Everybody's got their own sources, and so it's very hard to decide. If I took a poll today on what we all believe about, let's say, global warming, I bet we'd be all over the place, wouldn't we? Depending on where we are and who we listen to and whom we believe. The sources of the information that we get. There's some interesting studies that show that although we want to think of ourselves as rational people, right? Don't you think of yourself as a fundamentally rational person? A rational person who looks at all the evidence and rationally weighs it and comes to a rational conclusion. Don't you think about that? I like to think I am. But a lot of psychological studies have shown that that's not really how it works. That none of us is really all that objective. That we are heavily influenced by the circles in which we find ourselves. The people that we have coffee with. The TV shows that we watch. The radio stations that we listen to. We are influenced by those circles. So it's all the more remarkable that Thomas, who has a very good circle of friends, the disciples, doesn't believe them, right? He should. He should believe his friends, and yet he doesn't. There was an interesting story some years ago about how this kind of works and how we can be misled by what we think is true or what we fear is true. In 1998, a doctor named Dr. Wakefield, I can't remember his first name, published an article in the British medical journal, The Lancet, one of the top medical journals in the world. And in this journal, he published this article that was his study that the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, had a link to what? autism, right? And this became hugely influential. It blew up, basically, not just in the medical world, but all over. Celebrities like Jenny McCarthy talked about this. It was all over the place. And people started to change their behavior. Parents, who of course care deeply about the health and well-being of their children, were wondering, is it good? My doctor's saying I should vaccinate, but now I'm hearing that maybe it's dangerous. And so some parents chose not to vaccinate. There was an outbreak of measles at Disneyland. About 100 people got measles. Well, the problem with Dr. Wakefield was that he was a complete fraud. This was one study that was quickly disproven. The article was withdrawn, and he himself was stripped of his medical license. That didn't make the news. That didn't get circulated. What still is out there in the world is that maybe vaccinations are dangerous to my child. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Where do you get your sources of authority? How does that work? Well, Thomas wanted to see for himself, and I think we can support him in that. Don't you want to see things for yourself? We don't know what's real news and fake news, whose opinion is valid, whose isn't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I look at the stuff about global warming or about vaccinations, and I'm kind of at sea to weigh all the different material, right? I want to see for myself somehow. So Thomas gets his wish. Jesus shows up a week later. He's in the room. He says, Thomas, put your hands in my side. Touch the marks of the nails. See, I am here. And Thomas, of course, says, ah, it's real, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says to him, you're lucky. Blessed are those who, unlike you, have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. So what do we do with this? We have the record of the Bible to give us faith, the record of God's actions in history, his relationships, his covenants with the people of Israel. We have the record of the New Testament and the witness of the apostles. We have the stories of church history, 2,000 years of Christians who have stood up as we stand up to say we believe in one God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. But inside us, there's a yearning for more. We want more. I don't know if I told the story before, but I had a parishioner who was praying for a sign. Did I tell you that story? Every day she's praying, she's having a tough time, a crisis in her life. She's praying for, God, just give me a sign, give me a sign. And there's a little storefront church in her neighborhood with one of those signs. And she drives by, and on that sign it says, you asked for a sign, here it is. I think the reality is that we do meet the risen Christ. Not in the flesh, as Thomas did, not to touch the marks of the nails and the mark of the spear, but we meet the risen Christ in so many ways. You know, where were the disciples when they met Jesus? Where were they on that day? They were in a locked room, afraid. And that's where many of us are too, locked away and hidden and afraid. And into the dark places of our lives, into the fearful, locked rooms of our hearts, Jesus appears again and again to say to us, peace be with you. Have you ever had that happen? Going through a crisis, a dark time? I know I have. When suddenly, miraculously, I hear and feel the presence of God saying to me in so many words, peace be with you. Julian of Norwich heard it a different way. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. You ever felt the touch of God's compassionate love when you needed it the most, when your life was falling apart? Sometimes it happens alone. Very often it happens to us in the presence of other Christians who mediate God's presence to us, who call just at the moment we needed them the most, who show up at the hospital, who show up when we are desperate and give us the love of God. I blew my daughter's mind the other day. I was talking about these sort of miracles that happen. And, you know, we just went through tax day, and I will never forget one tax day just after Susan and I were married. And you can do with this story whatever you want, but I take it as a sign. I take it as a sign of God's presence. We had gotten married, and we went to a clergy tax person who was going to help us with our taxes. And either he didn't know what he was doing, or we didn't understand what we were supposed to do, but we completely failed to withhold our quarterly estimated tax for the year. So we're young, we're married, we have no money, and on April 15th, we now owe the IRS $5,000. $5,000. So I had one of those nights, I'm lying in bed staring at the ceiling at about 3 a.m. It's always 3 a.m. Do you ever notice that? Why is that? 3 a.m., what's going to happen? God, where are you? How am I going to get through this? No lie, the next day, in the mail, a check shows up for $5,000. Now, it wasn't, you know, addressed from heaven, but it might as well have been. It was the residual from my great aunt's estate that we had settled months and months before. I thought it was all done, and here was the last little bit, on the right day, in the right amount, to bail me out. Now, I don't know if that was God. I don't know if God sends checks through the U.S. mail. But I do know that God has shown up for me in so many ways, through the ministries of so many people, through the lives of parishioners, fellow clergy, strangers that I have met. God has spoken to me through a voice on the radio or television or a passage in a book. God has revealed himself to me in the beauty of nature, in the solitude of my heart, and in the gorgeousness of church music. Again and again in my life, the risen Christ has shown up to say, "Peace be with you." And I think if we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, he's saying it to us all the time, showing up in the locked places of our lives to give us faith and courage and reassurance, to breathe on us the Holy Spirit that will empower us to move out of those locked places and into the world. That complicated, confusing, dangerous, and uncertain world, to proclaim with Peter that yes, Jesus lives, and we are witnesses of that. Amen.